America's founding document was radical in its day. It's radical in our day. It declares that our rights come from the Creator. And among those rights are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Recently, Vice President Kamala Harris spoke in favor of abortion rights, and she referenced the self-same Declaration of Independence. Only she left out the Creator, whom the founders acknowledged as the source of our rights, and also she left out the right to life, the first right which they listed. Well, other than that, no, I'm just kidding. Providing an update on the battle for life in America, which is the battle against abortion, at least that's one of the key fronts in that battle, is Eric Scheidler, the founder and director of the Pro-Life Action League. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Eric, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Great to be with you.
Let's start with, we'll get an update, so we'll just kind of bounce around from different ideas related to the whole abortion issue. But I'd like your response to Kamala Harris's speech, leaving out God and leaving out the right to life.
Well, this is kind of what we've come to expect from Kamala Harris. She is just beating the drum for the pro-abortion industry. You know, her recent speeches since Roe v. Wade was overturned last summer have continued this drumbeat. I mean, she's even talked about the fact that women are getting pregnant every day as if it's some sort of a tragedy instead of how human beings flourish and carry on into the future. You know, that's where the new humans come from, including the new Democrats. So it's a bit of a puzzle why Kamala Harris is such an extremist on this issue, but it's really what we've come to expect from her and from her boss, Joe Biden.
Okay, we are a divided nation. How about a quick comment about how, if you look at America, it's almost like a checkerboard in terms of the abortion issue. You know, I see this all the time. I see, you know, such and such a state passes a law, and it's a real strict law, you know, curbing abortion or attempting to. Then another state passes some law, and it's a real strict law, you know, honoring, not only honoring, but abusing abortion rights. And it's like, what? It's such a divided country, maybe half and half. I'm not sure. What are your thoughts, you know, in America divided on the nation of abortion or the issue of abortion?
Right. Well, it's like maybe 20 to 25%. Of Americans are at either end of the abortion of view. You know, there is a 20-25% or so who think abortion is perfectly fine under all circumstances, never to be avoided, always to be applauded, and should be expanded to every possible corner of the world. Then there's another 20 or 25% that think of abortion as always wrong. It takes the life of an innocent human person, and it creates tragedy and chaos in the lives of those who are involved with it. But that the rest of the country, more than half of Americans, are somewhere in between. But we know that most Americans are uncomfortable with abortion. Most Americans want to see some limits on abortion. They tend to support abortion early in pregnancy, especially when economic circumstances are difficult. But they also want to see help extended to mothers in economically disadvantaged situations. So I think if the American people could really have their views expressed, we would have a more uniform abortion policy across the country, with abortion maybe tolerated in the first trimester, but also a lot of help being offered to women so that they don't feel forced into abortion. Instead, what we have is this patchwork of some states with total abortion bans and other states, like my home state of Illinois, just moving as aggressively as they can to expand abortion. In fact, just this past weekend, the Illinois State Senate passed a bill that would limit the freedom of speech of pregnancy centers and allow the attorney general to slap fines on them if he thinks they're going to misinform women in the future. So it's a completely subjective rule that could end up being devastating for the help that's being offered to mothers. And this is what we see in the aggressive pro-abortion states. It's not enough for them to sweep away all limits on abortion. They also want to go after the pregnancy centers. Whether that's because they want to expand the kind of idea that there's nothing wrong with abortion, sort of reduce abortion stigma, which they'll never do because abortion is stigmatized because it kills an innocent human being violently, or whether that's because they're trying to protect the profits of abortion companies like Planned Parenthood and others, I don't suppose really matters, because in the end, it's the unborn children and poor disadvantaged women who will be the victims.
You know, I'd like you to comment more about these crisis pregnancy centers, because they're really under attack in ways I have not seen in years. There was an attorney general about 20 years ago in New York State who was really going after the crisis pregnancy centers. He was later discredited for other reasons. I can't even remember, but Elliot Spitzer or something. But
that's
bottom,
right.
Yeah, but bottom line is, man, the crisis pregnancy center, I've never seen them under attack as in the last, say, half year.
They've been going after the pregnancy centers for a long time. There was a case called Nefilo v. Becerra where the Attorney General of California was trying to force pregnancy centers to provide information about abortion and other restrictions on them. Becerra is now the head of the Department of Health and Human Services of the United States. That case was ruled in favor of the pro-lifers at NIFLA, the National Institute for Family Life Alliance, whatever the name of the group is. The NIFLA group, the Pregnancy Center group, was victorious in that case. And we thought that kind of put to death this attempt to limit pregnancy centers. But now it's come back. And it's, you know, a bill has passed in Illinois. We think it's unconstitutional and we'll be able to fight it in the courts. But it's not just the legal challenges that are coming in states like New York, California, Illinois. It's also the vandalism that's happening from, radicals like this group, Jane's Revenge and Antifa and others. And we've only seen a couple of arrests over the course of the past, almost, 9 months now of attacks on pregnancy centers. So it's coming from both the law and from radical, terrorists, I would call them, who are attacking pregnancy centers, churches, and other locations like that. So it's a really difficult time in the pregnancy care world at the moment when these services are needed more than ever before. So really tragic situation. I really encourage folks to not only pray for the pregnancy centers, but also to contribute financially so that they'll be able to keep their doors open and continue to help mothers who need that help.
And if you would, how about a comment on the double standard of, for example, the Biden administration, the Justice Department under Biden, where it seems it's even okay for Supreme Court members to be threatened or whatever, have protests outside their homes, but in the meantime, they arrest peaceful pro-lifers who participated in some sort of sit-in or something even a year or two ago and nothing came of it. And there was nothing, that they were legitimately charged with. But the double standard is just—it's just shocking. It's sickening.
It really is. I mean, the Biden administration has been going after pro-lifers from the time they got into office. But ever since the Dobbs ruling came down, they've really stepped it up, just dredging over minor incidences of, physical dispute, maybe a little pushing and shoving outside an abortion clinic that no other, prosecutors wanted to touch because it was clearly just a minor situation. And they are coming out with these massive face violations, freedom of access to clinic entrances. This is a Bill Clinton era measure that, limits even the freedom of speech of pro-lifers outside of abortion facilities. It's rarely been used, but now we're seeing a ton of indictments under the FACE Act. And for the most part, the Biden administration is losing those because they're really just trumped up charges. And we saw this with Mark Houck, the homeschooling father who was simply defending his son from a very aggressive clinic escort a couple of years ago and was brought up on charges of violating FACE. Because of this altercation with a clinic escort, he was completely exonerated in court and I believe is now suing the FBI over the way that he was arrested. I mean, this guy was arrested by, the cops showing up, FBI showing up with long guns in numbers, assaulting his home as if he were a terrorist leader, even though he and his attorney had said, "When do you want us to turn ourselves in? We're willing to comply with the law." No, instead they raided his home because and that's what the media, that's what the American people remember. Oh, a pro-lifer's home was raided because, he was a danger to society. They don't follow on to the news to find out the guy was completely exonerated. And that's part of why the Biden administration is doing this. They want to create the impression that pro-lifers are the bad guys. And when we're the ones who are peacefully and calmly trying to save babies outside of abortion facilities. And that's just one example. So I'm really concerned. I mean, It seems like every couple of weeks we hear about a new series of indictments based on trumped up old charges. And it's keeping our pro-life attorneys extremely busy, which puts pressure on the whole system. So it's a very difficult moment. You know, we need a lot of prayer here, and we also need support for not-for-profit legal teams like the Thomas More Society that are helping to defend these pro-lifers.
And speaking of legal teams, I remember the Pacific Justice Department was one of the groups filing suit in that case that you mentioned a few minutes ago about Becerra, where in this is astounding, because I went out and covered this story for D. James Kennedy Ministries. The attorney general there in California was having it so that if you had a crisis pregnancy center, in other words, an alternative to abortion, a loving pro-life center, you had to actually have an advertisement in your lobby saying, hey, if you want to get an abortion, here's the phone number for the local abortion provider. And somebody said, hey, this would be like if somebody had an advertisement, a forced advertisement in every Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Listen, if you want to find the local bar, here's the phone number for it. I mean, it was astounding. Thankfully, as you pointed out, the Supreme Court did not agree with California and that terrible law.
That's right. And that's, again, the Niffler v. Becerra. And that the existence of that ruling has, in the past, short-circuited the efforts of states to limit the freedom of local pregnancy centers. But now that's changing again. Like I said, here in Illinois, a horrible bill just passed the state Senate. Now it heads to the state House of Representatives, and we fully expect J.B. Pritzker to sign it. And then we're going to have to fight it in court. And no matter how good you think your argument is, you never know. You could always lose. You could have, you know, a liberal judge decide that they're going to support this thing. And so this could be a years-long battle to restore the freedom of speech of pregnancy centers in the state of Illinois. And if it succeeds, even for a while before there's an injunction here, then other states are going to do the same. It's a really very – you'd have thought that winning this historic 50-year battle to overturn Roe v. Wade would mean victory for the pro-life movement. But it's actually resulted in a lot of defeats and a lot of real challenges. You know, still a wonderful – result, because we're saving children from abortion in some states, but in other states, they're just heading headlong into the darkest, deepest tunnel of abortion.
Is Illinois, for example, becoming one of these meccas for abortions, even late-term abortions, even more than it was, you know, prior to Dobbs, which overturned Roe?
Illinois has been moving very aggressively in a pro-abortion direction since about 2014, so about 10 years. Started with taxpayer funding of abortion, and then we had the Reproductive Health Act that stripped away every last limit on abortion other than parental notice, which was finally overturned and repealed, the first time that's ever happened, a parental involvement law being repealed against the will of the voters. About 80% of Illinois parents want to know if their 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old gets an abortion. But the General Assembly doesn't care. They don't care about what the voters think. They don't care about what's right. They care about what their friends at Planned Parenthood want them to do. And so they keep passing these laws. It's only gotten worse since Roe v. Wade was overturned with this latest attack on pregnancy centers. But Illinois really has become the abortion dumping ground of the Midwest. I mean, the state has gone and established a call center in the south part of the state. New abortion facilities have opened up in Carbondale, Champaign. They're looking at Danville now, Rockford. For a while, the number of abortion facilities in Illinois was on the decline. One of the reasons for that was that the last time they did inspections, a whole bunch of those facilities couldn't pass. Back in 2010 and 2011, about five or six abortion facilities had to close down, including one late-term facility that closed down even before the inspection could be done because they knew they'd never pass it. Now there is no inspection regime. Even though the last time a bunch of facilities were found to be non-compliant and unsafe and were massively fined and even shut down, now there is no system at all for abortion inspection in the state of Illinois.
All right. We're basically out of time. ProLifeAction.org for more information. Thank you so much for being with us, Eric.
Glad to be with you. God bless.